8. We have a doomed policy on climate change binding us to cut emissions by 80% by the year 2050. 3 months after being sacked as Environment Secretary, that is the view of Owen Paterson, who believes that we should scrap the legislation that binds the UK to that emissions target, the 2008 Climate Change Act. He is already known for speaking out against what he calls the green blob, the environmental lobby, and he is here in the studio this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Michelle.
It would be a very big step to take, scrapping the Climate Change Act, a central piece of legislation in this area. Why is it necessary?
Well, what I've suggested is, as we're the only country that's bound itself legally to these targets, we should actually suspend the Act until we see how other countries perform. If you look what's happening in the BRIC countries and China, got a huge increase in industrial activity. China's emissions overtook ours per head. I think it's unwise for us to be way out in front with this legally binding act, imposing conditions on this country.
Although you could argue, couldn't you, that leadership is about being way out in front. I just wonder where
Not much fun if you're leadership. You're working in Scunthorpe and you're one of 1,500 people chucked out because of high energy costs.
Where do you get this assertion that we are the only country to have legislated in this way? There are almost 500 climate laws in 66 countries, Denmark, Finland, Mexico, all sorts of countries that have passed their own climate acts with legally binding emissions targets.
Not to 2050, not binding the government itself. And what worries me about this, and I heard Adair just now, good to see Adair again on the stairs, we're friends at Cambridge, I'm afraid I have to disagree with him. The Act does not specify any technology, but it's quite clear from the DEC pathway for 2050, published in 2010, that there is a preference to go for renewables, and it is simply not doable. And what I found from my own constituency and from travelling around the country when I was doing DEFRA is the extraordinary, and I think quite justified, hostility to heavily subsidised wind projects. Imposing industrial projects in the middle of the countryside is extremely unpopular,
and
I just don't think it's just not deliverable.
But are you extrapolating far too widely from one point, which is the opposition that you've made to wind power? And we can talk about that in a moment. You yourself have just acknowledged that your issue isn't so much then with the Climate Change Act, but with the way that the Department for Energy and Climate Change is looking at this issue. So you can call for a rethink on energy. That is one point. But to call for the scrapping of a major piece of legislation in this area is going far too far.
No, I said we should suspend it to see how negotiations
go with
other countries.
There's no mechanism to do that.
Yeah, clause 2 says the Secretary of State can amend by order and just change the percentage. You put 0% on the order, you've effectively suspended. But look, that's really parliamentary
criteria,
stuff.
Which you could argue
My point is, the only way it can really be delivered, as is quite clear from the various pathways, which were published by DEC in 2050, which have all got a Greek letter on them, their preference is one for renewables. It is simply not doable. We've simply not got the surface area to put enough wind farms up. And sadly, they're not reliable. When the wind doesn't blow, we don't get the energy. So what I proposed last night are four common sense policies which would deliver energy, which would keep the lights on. And don't forget, our whole society is massively dependent on electricity.
Okay,
it would be quite catastrophic.
Spell out what those are then, briefly, if you will.
Okay, well, I think we should really push for shale gas. If you see what shale gas has done to the States, it has the most dramatic impact on reducing emissions, which are down to the 1960s level in the States.
Right,
and
whether we could replicate that in the UK.
Bringing whole industries back from China, which are no longer competitive, now coming to the States. And we've got to be competitive with the States. Secondly, I think there's a clear role for combined heat and power, which I think has not been looked at. An awful lot of our heat goes straight up the chimney. I think we could look at small nuclears also using it as combined heat and power. And then I think what no one has really picked in my speech, much more intelligent demand management. You could have quite cheap electronic gadgets on every one of our millions of fridges, which knock off the fridges at a critical moment, just for 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay.
Now that would knock the peaks out. And if we had a mixture of all those things, that would be a sensible, common sense policy. But none of those are possible at the moment within the confines of the Climate Change Act, because everything, as Adair said earlier, has got to be decarbonised.
Right. Is this really, though, about sour grapes because you were sacked as Environment Secretary? That was not a position you wanted to be in. And this is your revenge on the government.
Oh, come on, Michelle, no.
Well, you weren't happy to be sacked. That was a joke you wanted to be.
No, sir.
And since then, you went along with all these parts of government policy at the time, and since you've been sacked, you've laid into them.
You know, that's a perfectly fair comment. I did go, and I voted for the Climate Change Act. I was quite open about that in my speech, and I think I had to be. But, you know, I was a loyal member of the Shadow Cabinet and the Cabinet. But I did really pick up. I mean, extraordinarily strong opposition. My own constituents, as I said, counties all around. But you go to Northamptonshire, you go to Yorkshire, you go to Northumberland, you go to the West Country, and there's this extraordinarily strong opposition to what people see as subsidised and ineffective forms of renewable energy, and that's wind or it's solar.
That either the Climate Change Act should be scrapped or suspended.
Which
would mean that the natural home for your views would be UKIP, because that is the only policy, that's the only party which believes the same as you do on the climate change.
Emphatically not. UKIP is very good, as we know, at flushing out protest and spotting issues. Absolutely hopeless at coming up with any detailed policy. So what I'm doing here is presenting the leadership. After 3 months, I've kept completely quiet after 3 months, but I've spent quite a lot of time on this. I've got a lot of detail, and I really was quite shocked at how this policy will fail. So we are 6 months out from an election. It's a glorious opportunity for the Conservative Party to mark out a different path. And if it followed the path I propose, A, we would deliver our emissions reductions quicker, and we would keep the lights on by very, very conservative policies, using existing technology and by energy saving. And I think those are true conservative policies. They're common sense policies, and I would be really pleased if my party took them up. So answering your preceding question, I'm very much acting as a candid friend. You know, on parts of this, the Prime Minister has been absolutely staunch. He and the Chancellor have been emphatic about the importance of shale and have pushed it as hard as they can. Now, what we desperately need is a Conservative government with a Conservative majority to deliver this sort of policy.
Right, but you would acknowledge that you're putting forward these policies as a politician, not as a scientist looking at these
issues. Yeah, obviously.
Right. So what do you mean when you talk about the green blob? What is that, and what is its influence, if it does exist?
Well, the green blob is wholly malign. You had Dr. Power on from Greenpeace yesterday, and he skirted around Justin Webb's questions on golden rice. Since yesterday, 6,000 people have died because of vitamin A deficiency. And he batted away Justin's question on them stopping it. It was utterly wicked that last year, Greenpeace activists trashed trials in the Philippines on golden rice. This is a huge problem around the world. 6,000 people a day dying of this deficiency.
Where are you getting that from?
These are accepted figures.
From
these are
where?
WHO figures.
WHO figures on the number of deaths.
Today is World Food Day. It's the FAO World Food Day. And I think we should be looking exactly at the damage some of these groups do. If you look at this issue, he said the guy said yesterday on your program, it hasn't been tried out. Why? Because development has been stopped. If it is exploited, you would bring enormous suffering to an end, an enormous misery. 6,000 people since you had a program on yesterday have died because of this failure, and one of the main reasons is because development of it has been blocked by purely ideological reasons.
All right.
Of these green groups.
Okay, and Greenpeace have also said that in terms of your views on the science of climate change, they have said that during your time in government, you turned down the offer of a climate change briefing from the chief scientific officer at the Department of Energy and Climate Change. Is that true?
I had briefings from all sorts of scientists. That's all my scientific research.
From Professor David McKay, did you turn down a briefing from him?
I cannot remember every detail of every meeting, but I met my chief scientific advisor frequently.
Right.
But my views on this are irrelevant. What is the problem?
Well, you're putting them forward on this program.
No. My views are, I'm very happy to see emissions come down. I've said that. What I'm saying is, the policies currently being put into practice to deliver the targets of the Climate Change Act will not reduce emissions, and they will not keep the lights on. If we had my common sense policies, the four of them, and others I hope would be adopted, is what you want is for a thousand flowers to bloom and let the hidden hand take part, then you would see a whole lot of new technologies come forward, and money we're spending on renewable technologies that don't work could be spent on development of technologies that do work.
Owen Paterson, thank you very much.